The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Bob Goff helps us find focus, purpose, and joy.
If you have a hope without a plan, it's just a wish.
Right.
So I'd say, like, figure out what you're hoping for, vet it a little bit. Like, if it's a convertible, don't get one. It's just going to cost you a bunch of money. You're going to get skin cancer. It's just a bummer. So say, what are you hoping for? Why are you hoping for it? And then decide what you're going to do about it.
Yeah.
If you did that, we'd be less distracted.
Wow.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila Walsh is with me.
And hey,
Sheila,
everyone.
You know, I know we loved having today's guest on the program. We are
sure
very
do.
Excited because we have a special guest today that will bless you. He's been on Life Today many times, and it's always just, it's fun and insightful to talk to our guests. So, Bob Goff, welcome to Life Today.
Hey, thanks so much, Randy. Sheila, so good to be with you. And gosh, thanks for spreading a little joy in the world. I think we need that. There's a lot of things to be concerned about, but there's more to be hopeful for. And I think you guys are helping us continue to refocus on that.
Yeah, you're one of the best at it, and we appreciate you being here with us.
You know, it's interesting, Bob, when I got your book and I looked at the title, Undistracted, and I thought, I cannot think of a time when, honestly, I have felt more distracted. You know, it just seems like life is crazy. What was the kind of genesis for you writing this book?
Yeah, you know, I it was the book that I needed. And I'm kind of at a time where I'm easily distracted. I'm prone to that. I'm like, the enthusiast that's always like, you know, the movie Up, like the one, the dog that's like squirrel. I'm that guy. And so it was the book that reminded me about, like, to not be distracted about everything going on around me, but instead say, what's God doing within me? Because sometimes it's easy to get so distracted by either, you know, people's opinions or some of the crazy things that are happening in the world or the crazy things happening under your own roof. And to just say, like, why? Well, I want to get back to why am I doing what I'm doing? And it was a book to help me, probably like as you're writing your words down, to refocus and to ask the important questions.
Yeah. Speaking of crazy things, you have some stories in your book, in all your books, and we just laugh a lot of times at them, but you draw some real important lessons from some stories that are a little different than what most of us go through. What are some of the things that have happened to you that played into this book?
Yeah, I think what I do is gather. I'm mindful that it said that Jesus never spoke to anybody without telling him a story. And I think the idea is that stories are more portable. I want to write a book that would resonate with somebody who faith is important to and somebody who I'd call them church adjacent. They're not in the church. They're adjacent to the church. They're not mad at the church. It's, you know, bricks. It's a steeple. What's there to be mad about? But they've somehow got sideways with the people inside the church. They got distracted. So what I want to do is to say, draw from some stories that have happened. I'm thinking during this attack on Mosul that ISIS had done, that there was a bunch of like courageous Peshmerga fighters. This wasn't their battle. It was the Iraqi army's battle, but the Peshmerga said, we're going to liberate this entire city of a million people. And so I went to meet these people. I just wanted to meet the people that were like confronting this kind of evil in the world. And I would just tell a story about some of the things that I learned from them. There was the guy that was in charge of the whole thing. I don't blend in. And so like, who are you? I'm like, I'm Bob. And he said, you want to see our battle plan? I'm like, yes. And so we went in this tent. I thought there'd be like satellite images and flat screens and all that. It was a sandbox. It was 6 feet by 8 feet. There was little green army men. This was the plan to liberate a million people. And I thought there'd be more to it. Sometimes we think, with all the distraction around us, that God's plan is really complicated. And his plan is this: keep your eyes fixed on me. Like in this idea to return to yourself. If you lose your keys, has that happened often to you, Randy?
Not too bad. No, not too bad.
Yeah, I lose my keys all the time. And so I always ask myself, like, where was the last place I saw it? And so think about that during this time of tremendous distraction. If you feel like you've lost your hope, think to yourself, where was the last place I saw that hope? And go there. And sometimes if you've lost your faith, Revelations 2, that my criticism is this: you've lost your first love. If you feel like you've lost touch with your first love with Jesus, like, say, where was it that I last felt really, really close? Like, I really do. Who were the people that were around that brought that in? I want to return to those people, return to those places.
Good. You know, it's interesting, Bob. I was talking to my son last night, who's 25, about your book. And he said that one of the things he feels like a lot of his friends are experiencing is this lack of purpose in these days, or feeling as if they've been cut adrift. How do you begin again to A, identify distractions, and B, find that sense of why we want to get up in the morning?
Yeah, well, for me, what I'm trying to do is look closely at one thing rather than look broadly at everything. I have a collection of magnifying glasses. I've got these things everywhere. This is not a prop. This is always within a foot or two of me. It's not just because I'm getting to be an old guy and need to see the words bigger. But what I want to do is look closely at something. What happens is we have so much information coming at us. We're trying to look at everything at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just not working. You're just thoroughly distracted. And what ends up happening, you end up, it's the difference between somebody snorkeling in the top foot or two of the water and somebody shipwreck diving, who wants to really go down because that's where the gold is. Right. And so if you're trying to look at everything, you're in the top 4 inches of your life. And then our conversations, you know, me and you, Sheila, you and Randy, everybody else, we're staying shallow. And what I want to do is to say, let's get down to the deeper things. That's what you're doing on your show, to say, can we just put aside for a second, like the things that are distracting you, take a hard look at your faith, your family, if finances are distracting you, and it is for many, it's a difficult time, but understand what it is, because then we can do something about it.
Yeah.
I love the definition of faith. It said, Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is confidence in what you're hoping for and assurance of what you haven't seen. Yeah. So I would say to your son at 25, and I'd say to me at 63, what are you hoping for? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Just figure out what you're hoping for. And then if you have a hope without a plan, it's just a wish.
Right.
So I'd say, like, figure out what you're hoping for, vet it a little bit. Like, if it's a convertible, don't get one. It's just going to cost you a bunch of money. You're going to get skin cancer. It's just a bummer. So say, what are you hoping for? Why are you hoping for it? And then decide what you're going to do about it. Yeah. If you did that, we'd be less distracted.
Wow.
You have been one to push down to those deeper waters throughout your life, and encouraging us to do that. What have you found? What is it that level when we really push down?
Yeah, it's kind of like one of these nesting dolls when you, like, take it apart and you find the thing underneath the thing and the thing underneath the thing. For many of us, and I'm included, what's at the base of this is a real insecurity. And I don't come across to many people as an insecure guy, but I'm actually insecure. It's little Bobby Goff at 8 years old, super insecure about the world around him. And so what we all do is we make up a story. May not be true, but we make up a story. You might have made up the story that everybody's going to leave you. You may have made up a story that people aren't safe. Maybe you made up a story about the way that relationships work. But if you made up a story that everybody's going to leave me, then what we do is we make rules around the story, because you don't have the emotional tools at 8 years old to figure out stuff. So the rule is, if everybody's going to leave me, here's the rule: I'm not going deep with anybody. In other words, I'm going to be a snorkeler. And then you're 25 years old and you don't have any deep friendships. Yeah. And you say, why? Because you made up a rule not to go deep, because you had a story that isn't true, that everybody's going to leave. So what I want us to do to get undistracted, let's take a little closer look, and to say, what was the story you made up? And is it true? was it true then? Maybe it wasn't ever true. Or it might have been true at one point. Maybe it's not true now. And then what are the stories I made? Because that was scaffolding for your fragile life before. But we're new creations. I want to say, can we write a new rule? Can we say maybe if faith guides your step to say, Jesus has got this. I don't need to play afraid anymore.
Wow. You know, you made an interesting statement in the book. You say that boundaries are good, but barriers are not. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, sometimes what we do is we create these fortresses again. What's the rule? I'm under attack. Right. You know, what's the manifestation? Like, what are you doing about that? I build a castle. And then I go inside the castle and I pull up the drawbridge. That would be a barrier.
Yeah.
Saying putting a moat around this, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, to guard your heart. Right. But guarding your heart doesn't mean isolating your soul. Yeah. Like, I don't think we need, there'll be people that are truly kind of toxic to us, but everybody that disagrees with you doesn't mean they're toxic. It means you're insecure. And me too. I'm like right in there with you, but I'm going to do this. I'm letting the drawbridge down. I'm going to try to understand what it is. So I invite some people so I can understand a little bit more about me. Here's the deal. People don't like to be controlled. We did this a trip on a bus to visit some people that were having some setbacks during that time where Earth was. And we pulled into this place with this big collection of people. And after the speaking event was done, there was a person that really wanted to talk about something. And so I went over to talk to him, and the person hosting this, I could tell they wanted me to be somewhere else. And they were polite for a couple minutes. And then they came over, they grabbed me by the shoulders and they started physically moving me. And I'm thinking in my thought bubble, what hospital do you want to go to? I take a little baby steps. But here's the deal. People don't want to be controlled. Yeah. They want to be influenced. Right?
Wow,
so control is a distraction. Had this person said, Bob, I think I know why you came here, and you could do 20 times more of that if you moved 40 feet to your left, I'd be like, send me in. But that idea of like controlling somebody, all of us like dig in, and that becomes a distraction. And it gets in the way of God's bigger purposes in our lives.
Yeah,
it does. You know, one thing that you're known for in your books is being very transparent, and we do appreciate that. I think it helps all of us come out. But there's one thing you admit in this book that I need to ask you about. I discovered that you've been to prison many times. I'm curious why you went to prison and what you learned there.
Yes, every 3 weeks. Yeah, I teach a class at San Quentin, and I also teach a class at Pepperdine Law School. So I've told the students, like, don't do bad things or you'll be in my other class. the thing about at San Quentin, nobody graduates. Like, they're in for life. So I'm like, hi, this is year five. I'm like, same guys. Jesus talked about that. If you want to meet me, you got to meet them. Like Matthew 25, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was sick, I was strange, I was naked, I was in jail. And I think the whole idea wasn't that, like, do a solid for Jesus by visiting somebody that's had some setbacks. I think to get less distracted by what's going on, he said, if you want to meet me, you got to meet them, because I'm them.
Wow.
And I don't understand the theology behind it. You don't need to. I'm trying to obey things. I'm not trying to like reason them all out. If he said, meet them and meet me, and I've spent my whole life avoiding the people Jesus spent his whole life engaging. And why? I got distracted. Yeah. I got insecure. And so what I want to do is not beat myself up about that. I want to get busy. But here's the crazy part about scripture. Jesus doesn't need your help. I asked him right before we started. I ask him every morning, do you need my help? He's like, no, I need your heart. I want you to get distracted by trying to get applause. Now, you want applause, join the circus. But if you want me, find hungry people, thirsty people, sick people, strange people, naked people, and people in jail. And if following Jesus doesn't lead you to them, you're not following Jesus. But there's no shame in that. There's just an awakening that, like, wow, I could actually do the things that he asked me to do. because it wasn't just like a nudge. It was actually one of these things. Like, if you want to meet me, you literally have to change a couple of things. And that means I need to change my comfortable lifestyle.
Well, that's good.
So I decided to do one of your little suggestions in the book, Undistracted. And I started literally writing down everything I did from when I got up in the morning. And it was honestly a little eye-opening. Because I would write, poured a cup of coffee, let the dogs out, came back to get the coffee. Coffee's no longer warm, so I put the coffee in the microwave. Then I realized I haven't let the... I mean, it was just like all this stuff that... And actually what I was supposed to be doing that morning, what I assigned myself was to sit down and prepare a message for the weekend. But it got to like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I'd done nothing. How do we begin to identify the distractions that are eating away at every single one of us that make days feel a little worthless?
Yeah, the best way to fix a problem is to first realize you've got a problem. That's a great way to deal with this constantly conflicted nature that Paul talked about in Romans 7. I keep doing what I don't want to do, and yeah. I don't do what I do. That's just Tuesday for me, followed by Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. It's like, no, that guy.
Yeah.
But what we need to do, a little internal audit and just say, hey, what's really going on? You could even take a paper plate, have that represent 24 hours and to say, how much time am I spending sleeping? And if you need 8 hours of sleep, get 9. There's no pride in saying 4. Like, just get real about it. And then to say, how much time am I away at work or at your home office or doing whatever? And if it's 8 hours, that's great. But don't you dare write down 8 if it's really 10, and then you get home and then just start spending all this time on this, right?
Oh, exactly.
It wouldn't be the first time an Apple did us in, right?
Yeah.
So to say, okay, so have, once you've figured out how you're spending your time, really focused on the people that you love,
yeah,
undistracted by all this stuff, show your work to the person you love the most. Give them your paper plate to say, do you think my paper plate looks like the way I think my paper plate looks? And there's something beautiful about sharing that. It lets people know I'm interested in
That's
rebooting.
Great.
And once you see, just say, do I want my life to look like that?
Wow.
A great encouragement from Simon Peter to some of his friends, 2 Peter 1:2, he says, God has already given us everything that we need to lead beautiful, godly lives. And so what I want to do is just get your head on a swivel and say, what's available to me? And what am I doing with the time that I've got? And there's no shame in this. This isn't to beat yourself up.
Yeah.
It's to understand yourself, because we can see that we have a problem here, and then we can bring it to Jesus to fix.
Yeah.
You know, this be anxious for nothing, but make your requests known. But this is a God that says, I know it before you ask for it.
Yeah.
I think it's making the problem known to yourself so you can say, I'm actually in need of a savior. I need help with this.
It's
big
so
time.
Good.
And it's not so we'd be a better version of us. It'd be so we'd be a more accurate reflection of him.
Wow, I love that.
That's good. You know, we've only got about 1 minute left, but I want to ask you about something, because you talk about the importance of 5 minutes, which doesn't seem like much time, but the way you phrase it, I think it can be life-changing if we understood it.
Yeah, think about kind of chunking up your life a little bit. I've sailed back and forth to Hawaii a couple times. You don't just say, here's where I'm going to go 2,700 miles from now. I'm just saying, here's where I'm going for the next day, about 200 miles. And so pick that X, aim for something, start moving towards this. Maybe break up, chunk up your day a little bit into smaller increments. Keep track of it. Sweet Maria Goff does that. Works out terrific for her. So find what's working for the people around you. Don't be distracted by it, because God never compares what he creates. But come up with a couple life hacks, a couple tools that'll keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Return to yourself. Understand what's going on inside of me that's affecting what I'm doing around me.
That's brilliant. And as you can probably see, you're going to want to get a copy of Bob's book, Undistracted, and we'll be happy to send that to you. But first of all, I want you to help us with something. When our eyes have been opened, then we see Jesus in unlikely places, and we get to go and be part of that. Would you watch this?
Each day, we're bombarded with troubling headlines about different tragedies around the world.
And unfortunately, events ranging from natural disasters to pandemics claim too many innocent lives each month. But beyond the headlines lurks one of the world's deadliest killers. It has become so common and proficient that it is no longer considered front page news. Each day, thousands of children under the age of 5 die from the effects of malnutrition. These children weren't victims of an act of war or just in the wrong place at the wrong time. They simply didn't have enough food to eat. The early effects of malnutrition can be seen in the children's hair and skin condition. Later, their bellies will become painfully bloated. And if they still don't get enough food, a child will end up in a malnutrition clinic. Or even worse, this doesn't have to be. There's a simple solution. Life Outreach and its mission partners are providing life-saving food to hundreds of thousands of children. This daily bowl of nutritious porridge is the difference between life and death for these precious children. Be a part of the good news and help save a life today. Because without our help, this overlooked tragedy will continue to spread pain and devastation around the world.
Can you believe that today, you know, with all the technology, with all the advances we've made in the world, we're still having to bring you this story that there are so many children around the world who are dying of malnutrition? I will never, ever forget my first visit to a malnutrition clinic in Africa. It was one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever seen. And the noises were not what I expected. When you think of going into a place where children are in distress, so many of these little ones had to use every single bit of energy they had just to take the next breath. And it was looking at the despair in the eyes of the mothers. And as a mom myself, I can't imagine what that is like, to know that your child is disappearing a little bit more every single day. But then a few days later, I was able to go to one of the villages where mission feeding has already been set up. And it was exactly the noises you would expect. It was children laughing and playing and running around. And so little had made such a huge change. That orange-red bowl that you saw there, the special nutritious food that's made for children in those particular areas of the world, literally turns the corner between death and life. And we are committed to it, Randy. And if you will help us, it's our commitment this year to feed 350,000 children.
Right. And that's a big number, Sheila. But it's important, I think, for you to understand that it's not necessarily the same 350,000 children that we're just feeding month after month after month. We go into these areas where there's an emergency need right now, and it's sort of a stopgap to get them back on their feet, to get through a time of famine or other disaster that struck. And so we move. We go where the need is. And I know 350,000 sounds like a huge number. It is a big number. I wish it was more. But when you stop for a moment and you look at the one, and Sheila and I have both been there, we've knelt by the one sick child. We've prayed for that one to get well, and some we can bring back, but some we lose, and it's heartbreaking. Our heart is for that one child, and then the next child, and then the next child. And that's where I think it gets real. And so you need to know that your gift of $30 today will actually help feed 3 children for 3 months to get them through that period of time where malnutrition is knocking at the door. We want to say no. We want to say life to these children. Your gift of $50 will help feed 5 children for 3 months. A gift of $100 will feed 10. A gift of $1,000, if you can do that, will help feed 100 children for 3 months. We are committed to this, but we can only do it with your support. So I'm asking you right now to go to the phone or go online, make the best gift you can, and know that when you do, when you partner with us, we can save children's lives, and every life is precious. I hope you'll do it right now.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you The Chosen, 40 Days with Jesus. From the creators of the widely popular television drama, The Chosen, this devotional invites you to discover Jesus through the eyes of those who knew him best. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Amazing Grace Sheet Music Frame Wall Art. This timeless and well-beloved hymn can be displayed as a reminder of God's grace to you. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This beautiful bronze is a reminder to care for children around the world in both word and deed. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
My prayer is that we haven't reached this child too late. My prayer is that the therapeutic food that we're bringing this child will save its life. But my other prayer is that we're able to reach the many mothers in villages all over this area, just like Marta, mothers who are so desperate for food that we can reach them before their children end up in malnutrition clinics. You can be an answer to that prayer. You can provide the resources today to enable our mission teams to bring that food to these villages, to bring food to mothers like Marta. So please, I'm asking you today to go to the phone or get online and give the very best gift that you can give. Give the gift of food. Give the gift of life.
I hope you are going online or going to the phone right now. Make the best gift you can. Together, we really can make a difference in the lives of these children. And Sheila, we've got something very special for people that request it today.
Yeah, and for any gift at all, we would love to send you Bob's book, Undistracted. It really is, it's a book for this moment in time. I think it'll make a huge difference. So, Bob, thank you so much for being with us again. We just love having you.
Oh, what a delight for me. For everybody listening in, just take one courageous step towards a less distracted life and move it in the direction of Jesus.
Absolutely. Wow. That's great. Beautiful. We appreciate you guys joining us here on Life Today. Join us every day right here. We'll see you next time.
I said to my wife when I come home, I said, I just love telling the stories of Jesus, but from these different perspectives.
Wow.
Creators of The Chosen, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.